Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 18, and 25 through 27. You may follow along in your bulletin. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews or Gentiles, some are slaves or free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where God wants it. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it.
Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Holy One, for you are our strength and our shalom. Amen. So I often hear our folks talk about the time when the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke here at First Christian Church from this very space. I mean, I name it myself as a very important part of the legacy of this congregation, and yet sometimes I wonder if we remember the man more than the message. And so today I'm inviting us to take a closer look at least one part. Martin Luther King Jr. was ordained a pastor while still a student at Morehouse College. He went on to earn his PhD from Boston University, and with the plethora of opportunities opened to him, he accepted a call to be the pastor at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Choosing to be a congregational minister like his father and his father before him. From the pulpit, near the beginning of his ministry, Dr. King said, "If we protest courageously and yet with dignity and Christian love, when the history books are written in the future, somebody will have to say, there lived a race of people, of black people, of people who had the moral courage to stand up for their rights, and thereby they injected a new meaning into the veins of history and civilization." And human history, our history, has forever been changed by the movement that he headed. Our current level of sensitivity to human rights issues and inclusiveness can be traced to the strides gained by the civil rights movements of the 1950s and 60s. And yet, while Dr. King won the battle for bus desegregation and the Civil Rights Act and the Nobel Peace Prize, the basic battle for liberation, for justice and freedom and peace in our society continues today. Dr. King accomplished much in his life. He influenced much, not only during his life, but after he was gone. Yet, Dr. King's greatest gift to us is not a seat on a bus or at a lunch counter for a few. It's not even the wake-up call given to the majority of us, especially those of us who are white and are more comfortable living oblivious to the systemic racism that happens around us. Behind it all, I believe, his greatest gift was to lay bare for us the body of Christ and to challenge us to live into that in our lives. From the book of 1 Corinthians, we hear this. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews or Gentiles, some of us are slaves or free, but we have all been baptized into the body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. As disciples of Christ, this passage reminds us that we are united by faith in Christ, which means we are united to one another in the body of Christ, and we understand it is through our union with Christ, our union with one another, it is through that all of humanity is joined as one as well. This union with one another is the bedrock of what we live. It is our unity that makes us who we are. Now the scripture goes on to remind us the body has many different parts, not just one. I mean, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? So we remember that unity is not uniformity. Union in Christ, we know, not only recognizes our diversity, it welcomes our differences. Colorblind is not the goal. As disciples, we believe that diversity comes to us through liberty. You see, liberty not only invites us to be different, as we were created, it gives us the freedom to be that way. In the 14th chapter of Romans, we are told, in the love of Christ, we must extend liberty to each person to hold fast to his or her own conscience on what Christ has commanded. We're not invited into simple tolerance of one another's differences. We're invited to live and to be who you are. And so that means supporting one another to grow into the fullness of God in which we were created. Recognizing the abundance of God in which we live and assuring that all have the same access to this abundance as well. It means realizing that I cannot fully be the God-created person I am if you are not able to fully be the God-created person that you are as well. One body in Christ, fully connected, equally needed, together. It was Jesus' message, the Apostle Paul's words, Dr. King's life, and what he died for. The message is simple, one of equality and justice. It has been in our scripture for millennia, and yet we don't always remember. We don't always remember that the Garden of Eden did not have a separate but equal. We don't always remember that the scriptures tell us we are of a common birth. The scriptures explain it that you and I are all children of Eve. Jesus didn't die on the cross first for white people and then come back and die again for black and brown people. Jesus died once for all, and in him we are all risen together. There is no other way. On the night before his assassination, in a worship service in Memphis, Dr. King proclaimed his desire for liberation that was not just about race, but transcended that. These are his words. What good is a desegregated lunch counter if you can't afford the meal? What do federal regulations desegregating housing mean when you can't afford a house? What does the right to work with people of all races mean when you can't find a job? We are the body of Christ, Jesus simply commanded, love one another, and loving one another means being responsible for the health and the life and the welfare and the opportunities of one another. In the end, despite threats beyond what we could imagine, nothing could shake Dr. King's fidelity to Jesus' message of love. On that last night that Dr. King preached, he said, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land, and so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. On the next evening, April 4th, 1968, in Memphis, Tennessee, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was shot and killed for the message that he shared of justice and equality and liberty and love. He was killed for the faith that he lived, one body in Christ. We are one, the beloved of God, united in the body of Christ. We are one. And Dr. King's call to live this way, to live this justice and peace, didn't end with his death in 1968. For many in our nation and in the world, it has guided our sense of civic justice for more than 50 years. Yet now it's up to us, to you and to me, to accept this call today and every day until our world learns to live it fully. It's up to us, to you and to me, to stand as allies with our black and brown sisters and brothers who live with the effects of systemic racism every day. It's up to us, to you and to me, to work to dismantle the systemic practices that lock entire families into poverty generation after generation. In 1963, in a speech in Detroit, Michigan, Dr. King said, I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality. With this faith, we will be able to achieve this new day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing with the spiritual of old, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Today, 55 years later, for this dream to become a reality, it is up to us, to you and to me. Where will you choose to begin today?